What do you do on your holidays? Do you head far afield or do you look for adventures in your own neighbourhood? RN producer Erica Voles popped a sun hat on and went searching for what researchers are calling the magic of the third place.
Very good for you.
I'm visiting a community garden in a public housing estate in Fitzroy in Melbourne. The garden is surrounded by tall high-rise apartments and next door, kids from one of the local primary schools are playing outside.
My name is Mimi.
Mimi, and how long have you been living here for?
Nearly 6 years.
And my brother's birthday was here.
Yeah,
so 6 years.
Yeah? Yeah. What have you got planted here?
Now, at the moment, I have lettuce, beach row, and broccoli.
Yep.
This one, I don't know the name, you know, this one from Ethiopia. I plant this one, I go to someone's garden. You know, when I come to this area, I don't know anyone, I'm lonely, just I'm new. And I'm thirsting to grow something vegetable, and everything is good.
So what's the thing that you love the most about this garden?
I stay with my children, with my friend, drink coffee, and, you know, some get fresh air, and that's I love more. It's very beautiful here.
Working nearby in the garden is Eitan Bayadar. She's had a very long association with this particular community garden.
I live in Fitzroy more than 20 years. I have a garden maybe more than 15 years.
15 years?
Yeah.
This one
very
plot?
Long time, my plot, I have some chili, parsley, tomato, cucumber, beans, some chilies. We give each other to share the chili, cucumber, beans, everything we share each other.
Is this a social place for you as well as being a place where you can get your hands dirty and grow some things? Is this a place where you meet other people and make friends with some of the other gardens?
Yes, yes. If sometime I bring just tea, coffee, sit there all the table, talk each other, talking, chatting. Because all the building, we meet together here, talking each other, what you doing, what you have in your garden, all this nice, give some, we can also share the chili, cucumber, beans, we share the food.
Well, because that way, you know, you can't eat all these chilies, but you might want someone else's lettuce.
Someone give the lettuce, someone give the parsley, someone give the chili. Mm. Oh, I go home, more fresh, more healthy, more energy.
And so it puts you in a good mood.
Yes. If the fresh air, more good mood,
Eitan Bayadar and Mimi Gobina highlighted for me that their garden is a meeting place as well as a growing space. And in fact, researchers are now arguing that community gardens can be fertile grounds for growing social connections in a neighbourhood. And it all has to do with something called the third place, which is an idea that's been around for quite some time. Joanne Dolly is a PhD candidate at Griffith University. She's just co-edited a book on third places.
First place is home, second place is work, wherever you spend your day volunteering, and third places are informal public places where you can relax and meet people in your neighbourhood. It's actually 30 years since Professor Ray Oldenburg came up with this concept in 1989. He produced a book. He came up with the idea because he'd moved to a modern neighbourhood, and he said life was just a shuffle between work and home and back. And he noticed there were no corner stores or local bars or places where he could chat with locals from all walks of life. So he couldn't get to meet anybody in his neighbourhood. So he and his wife actually ended up, he told me, they turned their garage into a bar so that they had some place where they could, you know, get together with people in the neighbourhood. Not that I'm recommending that.
A lot of bylaws to be getting through with that one.
Third places, they usually have some kind of activity that helps to spark conversations, and they have regulars there. It might be the shopkeeper or your barista or someone who knows kind of the background of the area, because they can introduce people to each other and they kind of can keep a conversation going. Third places are levelers, which means they're inclusive of anybody. There's no barrier to entry. You don't have to be rich to go there or meet any club criteria. So they're just places where people can have conversations. Well, the reason community gardens can be good third places is that they do have that opportunity to spark conversations, both in the garden and outside the garden. There was a community garden in Woolloongabba. So even people who weren't gardening, when they were walking on their way to the cricket or the AFL, they'd stop by and they'd have a chat to the gardeners, ask how it was going, talk about the weather. So like one of the people at the Gabba garden said, it's always awkward meeting new people, but at least in the garden, you're not just standing around, you're actually doing something. And so you've got some reason to spark up conversations with people.
Has there actually been any research into what the actual tangible benefits to us are if we have a third place in our life?
Well, there was a research study done on a community garden in New York, which showed how it helped with, after Superstorm Sandy, people used the community garden as a site where they got together and sort of talked about how they were recovering, and they had memorials there, and it just helped to bring people back to normality. The benefit is that we feel more connected to our neighbourhood, so there's more likelihood that we'll be civically engaged in the neighbourhood, and also the social capital that develops. So when troubling times come, like big hailstorms or floods, the community is able to pull together better because people know each other, they know how to access resources in the community, and it just helps people to recover after a disaster.
What do you think about that idea?
I totally agree with that idea. I think if people have got a place to go that, yes, is not family or is not work, and some people don't have either of those things, so this is certainly a very life-giving place to come and be part of. And if there's something that lifts the heart and soul, I think then definitely that builds community strength and builds personal resilience, yeah.
That's Pat Long. She helps coordinate the Farnham Street Community Garden in Flemington, in Melbourne's inner northwest. And that's where I am now. It's a quiet suburban street next to the Neighbourhood Learning Centre and a playground. It's a windy day, dogs are barking somewhere nearby, but the sun is shining. What is community gardening about to you?
It's about, particularly in inner suburban areas, it's about growing food and enjoying that food, growing food in a healthy way, and engaging the local community in that effort, particularly in this area where people don't have a backyard, or, you know, that land is very precious here, and not much more building out can happen. So to have a little space at the back of the neighbourhood house is a brilliant community asset. And it's about, I guess, making connections at many different levels. There are lots of people who are alone or who have particular challenges in life, who need a place where they can feel at home, and that this space provides some of that. And since we've had the garden upgraded, it's really increased the attraction for people just to come along and for people to say, look, I don't necessarily want to plot, but I want to help out, and what can I do? So it's about that kind of connection and getting to know people, and I think there's a great need for that today more than ever. And it's bringing diverse cultures together, people with different abilities together, and all for a sense of unity, I suppose, in a time when the world is becoming more and more fractured and people are wanting to divide and alienate people from each other. I think it's a good little spot to contradict that kind of thinking. Whenever it's a nice day and I'm free, I like to come over and do something. And I love sort of being here on my own as well as being here when the group's here, because I just find it very nourishing just to have my hands in the soil. And, yeah, just caring for something that's beautiful is very rewarding.
Of course, I love the nasturtium. They're just gorgeous, just as a bit of colour.
And your rhubarb's coming along.
The rhubarb's coming along nicely. That was a new plant last year.
Was that the one that wasn't looking so good?
Yes, it was actually. We thought it was dead and then it just all of a sudden took off. So always a lesson there in being patient, I think. And
I'm Joanne Nata-Prawira. I'm an architect and permaculture designer. I've been involved in the garden since 2013 and I've made some really amazing friends through the process, and I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I like low maintenance gardening, so almost all these lettuces are self-sown.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
I just let a few go to seed, and now I've just got
so okay, you've so got much a lettuce in. A lovely plot down there. We were looking at some of the plants. Tell me about what you're growing at the moment.
Lots of greens. Really concentrating on salads at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think it's feels really good when you can have a meal that has something that you've grown yourself, and greens are very easy.
Yeah, that's good advice. Was it primarily plants that was the starter for you?
Yeah, I have a south-facing garden. It's very shady and it's just a struggle to grow things, and you don't realise that until you have a beautiful sunny north-facing plot like we have in the community garden, and it's just like it's easy to grow. Mm-hmm. So I did come here originally to grow things, but since then I think the social aspect has really just kept me here.
And were you expecting that?
No, I think I just thought, oh, community garden, that's where you'll grow things. This garden has areas to sit, it has, you know, communal compost that we turn together, and sometimes those dull jobs can actually be quite enjoyable when they're shared. I think being on maternity leave really made me appreciate it as well. I probably didn't notice as much, and I think there are some older people in the garden who maybe deal with loneliness like I did at the beginning of my maternity leave, where I thought, oh, I'm at home, I don't have work anymore, so I've lost one of my other spaces, what do I do? And having a place to go to every week where you know there'll be friendly faces, people you know, and you can all work together towards a common goal has been just amazing. I grew up in Flemington, but I didn't really develop a lot of friendships here until I started being part of the community garden.
That's amazing. So you've spent all your life here, but this is where you feel like you now have connections.
It is amazing, but sometimes you need to sort of search out connections, you know. School's not enough. You need to really have a dedicated place you go to every week, and then you can make those friendships.
I'm going to make sure that there are some things that
that are worth harvesting.
Yeah, I'm hoping that my cauliflower survives, because that's looking pretty exciting.
So what keeps you coming back?
The people connections. The strong belief that food is vital. And I've got time.
You seem to be using it well. Thank you for speaking with me, Pat.
Very welcome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
RN producer Erica Voles speaking to the local residents who tend their plots at the Farnham Street Community Garden in Melbourne. You're listening to Life Matters.